It's all too familiar, scrambling the last day of April to get your taxes filed a day late for RRSPs, a feeling we've all run into once or twice. I've got David Sweeney from Dundee Wealth Management on the line telling me about some of the most common mistakes individuals make when trying to plan for their future financially. I'm full of mistakes when I go about doing things. What are the most common mistakes that individual investors make?
Probably the most common mistake is leaving everything to the last moment. Making that it's all of a sudden becomes a point of urgency to do anything, whether it's, you know, file my tax return, whether it's, you know, making my RSP contribution, whether it's, you name it, you know, renegotiating my mortgage when it comes up for renewal, or at least knowing what I want to do. Human nature just causes that. And that's a result of really not having an idea or a plan or an idea of what am I really trying to achieve, and it not become this trial by fire or this crisis management. I think is probably the biggest mistake. Biggest mistake investors make probably is looking at historical return or historical performance be an indication of future. The reality is it has no indication of that, and that's what quite often makes most of us making emotional decisions as opposed to really sound, solid decisions.
What are some other things that people do that they just maybe should nip in the butt before it gets to be too much of a habit?
The big one is, you know, certainly not living by a budget. I think anybody who can budget is boring. They really, you know, it's very hard to adhere to any sort of level of budget that way. But certainly look at setting out an obligation or a plan and saying, okay, I want to be able to retire at 60 if that's the age, and I'd like to have $3,000 to $4,000 a month income, and really knowing what do I need to put away today to get that, and just start putting it away.
Right.
Treat yourself as your biggest obligation. Quite often we make sure the bank's paid on time, the car payment's paid on time, you know, the Visa bill, everybody else is paid on time, and what's left over is ours. And that's the big one, where we don't pay ourselves first, as the analogy is used, that hang on to some of this money that we've earned, because that's really the only reason you go to work is to earn the money. Obviously, there's enjoyment factors, but at the same time, you're there to trade your time for money. And then if you don't hang on to any of it, it's really you're just spinning your wheels. Those are fairly simple things to solve today. I mean, it's quite easy to start a monthly savings plan, either through you or your work or whoever you deal with as a financial planner or your financial institution. They'll gladly set up what's called a PAC, a pre-authorized checking, to at least start doing some level of savings. And that can be as small as, you know, $100 a month is, in fact, we should be looking at doing. But the bigger one is, what do I really need to be saving to hit my goal and objective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes that's just a little out of reach. You know, the pay-yourself-first philosophy, I think that came from the Wealthy Barber, if I'm correct, did it?
Well, yeah, it was certainly there before him, but he's the one that turned it into a sort of a public idea of, you know, exactly that. David Shulton, the author, was, you know, used that concept of pay-yourself-first. Mind you, he set out the outlines that if you're under 30, it's 10%. If you're over 30, it's 40% of what you earned. So you can see the value of time, and that's really more one to really consider. Is it's never as cheap as it's going to be today, because you've got more time today than you'll have tomorrow.
Right, definitely. Anything else you wanted to add at all?
I think, as you say, you know, just coming back to the mistakes, is just, you know, learn from them is the big one. If you were frustrated last year with what you were able to save or what you put away, you know, make this a year that you're going to sort of deal with it. It's not something that, you know, takes 10 hours a week or anything like that from your schedule. You know, realistically, it should be a good 2 to 3 hours per year. Looking at reviewing, looking at maintaining, and finding out what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's what a financial planner or an advisor can help anybody with, is in essence, that's part of what our jobs are with our clients, is to make sure at least once a year they're reviewing things and seeing what's going on. I mean, obviously, we watch it for a much more consistent basis for them, but they should be part and parcel of the process at least once a year. And sort of set that as one of your objectives this year to maybe hopefully get that part taken care of.
Pay yourself first. That's one investment tip I don't think I'm going to have any trouble with. That was David Sweeney from Dundee Wealth Management with some money tips for us. For the Mountain Monitor, I'm Lindsay Logan.